what is this retro intention? You're talking about, I guess, going back, in other words, projecting intention into the past.
Well, I thought this is the most fascinating and troubling evidence that I've come across, Art.
But it's not surprising, Lynn, if you look back at what they did at Pear and, you know, some of that work, a lot of it suggested that effects were taking place prior to events.
Well, that was the amazing thing about their work and many others with not only the intention but also remote viewing. They found they had just as good an effect when people were sending intention at, you know, when they were sitting in front of a computer and trying to change an image from one to another, sitting right there, mm-hmm. and they'd have the same effect if they sent it 3 days before or 3 days after the thing.
Hmm.
And I asked Robert John once about this, and he said, well, it's very simple, Lynn. Take time out of it, and it all makes sense.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Whoa.
But no, taking time out of it, you wrap your mind around that one.
Exactly. But then I started looking into it, and I found a whole bunch of studies where they were testing a thing called retrointention. One of the most interesting ones was a prayer study. It was a study in Israel, and it was by a guy called Levavici, who actually wanted to show that alternative medicine doesn't work. So he thought, I'm going to think up the most outrageous experiment I can come up with. And he took a group of very sick patients who had life-threatening blood infection, divided them in half, and did praying for one half of them. And he found, probably to his dismay, that the patients given the prayer were better in every way. They'd got out of the hospital quicker, all sorts of things like that. Much, much better. But the real killer of the study was that the patients were in the hospital between 1992 and 94. The prayer was sent in the year 2000. 60 years later.
Oh, my God, really?
And now he published this, and there was a huge, huge furor because it was universally interpreted to mean that we can go back and change the past. So I was really interested in this, and I started looking at a lot of studies like this, and people like Dean Radin and many others have run all kinds of studies. There have been all those REG experiments too, where they've done things where they've run the equipment, and in this case, audio equipment, and they've asked people to listen to the tapes after they've been run. And then they've measured the effects and found that the people listening to them had an effect, had some sort of retro effect in changing them.
Oof.
And I kept wondering about the mechanism for this. This is just really strange. And actually, Dean Radin, and he has a counterpart in Holland, a guy called Dick Bierman, who have done a lot of interesting stuff about this. And what he's found is that he did a thing called a Markov chain, looking at REG studies. He wanted to see whether or not this mind influence is operating backward. And what he did was he ran a bunch of REG studies, and then he did a thing called a Markov chain, which is a mathematical analysis of how his output changes over time. And he tried three different models of intention. You know, first one was like forward time, like the mind pushes the REG in one direction. The second was what he'd called a precognitive influence, which is the mind works out the precise moment to hit the REG and it's, you know, to get a certain effect.
Right.
And the third one was that the mind looks into the future and brings back this information to the present. Or finally, that the mind sets the future outcome and applies all the chain of events that will produce it backward in time.
God.